Hey, everybody. Before we start the show, I'm proud to say that we have a special announcement.
Woo-hoo!
JJ, the special announcement music.
Da-da-da-da, this is a special announcement.
All right. It's even more special than that. Makes it sound. We are helping out Future Press with their upcoming Bloodborne official strategy guide.
Oh, yeah.
Hardcover book. This thing looks awesome. They've done the Dark... They did the Dark Souls guide, the Dark Souls 2 guide, if you have either of those, which are really awesome. This one is Amazon exclusive. It's like $21. You can pre-order it now. It comes with a bunch of stuff. It comes with a... apparently, it comes with an exclusive PS4 dynamic theme, JJ.
Mm. Ooh.
As well as a bunch of art, like a lore index. Epic Name Bro, friend of the show, is working on it. So, you know, that's going to be...
Pretty crazy beard right now.
Yeah, he is, actually. Yeah. More about that in a minute. But what we're doing, more on Epic Name Bro's beard but the reason that we're bringing this up, actually, is we are helping out with a little bit of stuff behind the scenes for the guide, but mostly, and most excitingly, we are going to be interviewing Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne creator, maestro, mastermind, genius, some would say, Hidetaka Miyazaki.
Yes.
Who has been
genius.
Some really interesting interviews before in the past, if you've looked at any of the like translation of the Japanese art books and stuff like that. You can get a lot of good stuff out of him. This is going to be about Bloodborne.
Yes.
And so we want questions, actually, from the community. We've gotten the okay from all the stakeholders to bring community questions to it, which is awesome.
Be nice.
We don't know how many we're going to be able to ask. We don't know how many answers we're going to be able to use, but we do want people's questions out there, your questions.
Mm.
So there's a bunch of different ways you can send them in. One is with the hashtag on Twitter, 84BBQ. That's
84 barbecue.
Yes, 84 Bloodborne questions. So the number 8, the number 4, and then just BBQ. Mm-hmm. You don't have to tweet it at the 84 account or to any of us. We'll find it out there.
Yes.
You could also put it on Epic Name Bro as a video that's coming out the day that we're posting this podcast, Friday afternoon, talking about this whole thing. He gives a lot of details about it. You can put it in the comments to that video.
Right.
And that's a good video to check out, too, because he talks about the kind of questions they're looking for, how the process is going to be with getting, you know, answers and everything, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and if you haven't checked out, if you're a fan of any of these types of games and you haven't checked out Epic Name Bros' channel, you should check it out anyway. But yeah, some of his points, keep the questions about Bloodborne, and also don't ask stuff that you're going to be able to answer right when you first play the game.
Right.
Right? Obviously, like, people have all sorts of questions about how the game works and stuff like that. Like, all that stuff's going to come out. But yeah, keep it something that you're going to want to read after.
Forever.
You've already played the game.
For the rest of your life.
For posterity. Pass along to your grandchildren. We're definitely super excited about this. It's going to be cool to meet him. It'd be cool to get some stuff signed. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But
I want to bring my Dark Souls 1 guide. Have that get signed.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then these guys make really awesome guides, by the way. Seriously, like, they're not paying us to run an ad for them or anything, but it's like, it's about $20. It's Amazon only. You can pre-order it now. These are really nice guides. It's a nice hardcover. I think they're only doing a hardcover.
Nice.
But they have the image of it up there. It already looks pretty cool. Please send us your questions. Hashtag 84BBQ. Put them on Epic Name Bros. Comments to his YouTube video. NeoGaf, the thread about 84,
yes.
You can put them there. Get them in whatever way you can. Probably in the first week we need them, though. The reason we're doing this at the top
quickly
of the show is we need them fast. So send us your questions, and we will look forward to them. Other than that, I think that's it. So why don't we start the show? next 8-4 Play podcast, your first, only, best, last home for news and opinions about Japan and games.
Mixing
and
it up
Japanese games. I try to do that sometimes. Oh, okay. I am your host, Mark Gaming Jesus McDonald. Uh-huh. With me is a full table. An embarrassment of riches around here. All-star lineup, you might say, of regulars. None of those guest stars to break the rhythm and
fuck
get in
guests.
The way of our fun.
That's right.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, sharing my enthusiasm is Mr. J.J. Bim Epperson.
That's right.
Who had the distinct pleasure of finally seeing the 1980 classic, The Apple.
The Apple. The Apple. It is a movie. Actually, So I'm like a pretty big connoisseur of bad movies.
This is widely regarded as the worst movie ever made.
Well, definitely the worst musical ever made.
The worst movie ever made.
What about The Room? Isn't that?
Well, so The Room has kind of gotten. That's like a recent arrival.
Yeah.
But the Apple has had the crown for decades.
Well, I recently watched a documentary on Canon Pictures, which was a production company kind of responsible for a lot of really bad movies in the 80s and 90s. A lot of Chuck Norris movies.
And a lot of good movies.
Too. Bloodsport, being one of the good ones. And like the Captain America movie that everybody was like, it was weird. They made a lot of shitty movies.
That's right. They made it.
And The Apple was directed by the head of the company, Canon Pictures. It's like this Jewish guy came from Israel. Him and his brother started Canon Pictures together, and this was supposed to be like his magnum opus.
You guys, seek it out. You said it was on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. Just search for The Apple.
It's awesome, because I can definitely watch it again. Like, just to set the table for you guys here, so it's 1980, and basically the reason for it existing was Saturday Night Fever had just made a shitload of money, and like disco was super hot.
They want
when
they
made it.
The director wanted it to be his Tommy in those words.
Okay, there you go. So his rock musical.
Yeah,
and that was probably going really strong too, right, Tommy? But also disco was super hot when they wrote the script and started production.
Yes,
but by the time the movie came out,
disco sucks. Had happened.
Disco was deader than disco.
Right.
So yeah. So it's. So amazing.
It's a story about the Garden of Eden.
the apple is that apple. Right. It's like a modern retelling. Like,
yeah.
A modern 1996, I think.
Yeah, it was
place.
1996.
Is it 96 or 94?
I may have tweeted about it. I think it was 94.
Wait, so it's a 1980 movie that takes place in 1994?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's amazing.
Wait,
it's
1994?
Yes.
That's my birth year.
Oh. There you go. There you go.
Well, you were born in a godless hell.
Yeah, probably.
Then you have to see this movie.
Right. To spoil the ending, the main characters join like a hippie covenant and fly away.
Don't spoil it.
Okay.
Just leave it out there. Yeah.
Just there's hippies.
Disco.
Listen, it is a bad movie. Spoilers or no, the movie is inexplicable
already.
Okay.
If you just even give that.
Fine.
Come on.
JJ reads spoilers for everything ahead of time. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like probably like a murderer who after killing like 20 people, they don't feel it anymore. JJ spoils everything.
It's about the journey, John. It's not about the little spoilers.
You're a spoiler murderer.
Yeah. Don't spoil
so,
anything.
All right.
The apple of our podcast, born that year, that is Sarah On Air Port Podzorski.
Oh,
that's right, JJ.
Very nice.
JJ's nickname for you was Girl in Airport.
Because, when you're in a news thing, whatever, keep going.
I tried to explain the idea of what nicknames are to JJ. Somehow I have to do this every podcast.
I have to come up with almost everybody's nickname.
No,
I already do the dirty work of finding the good stories for you.
Let's make this clear. Somebody else might help with that. But let's make it clear, you help. You provide the grist for the mill of nicknames. Like, oh, hey, this thing happened to this person.
Yes.
Because
you basically tattle the mark.
Yes.
But he makes me do it.
But I have to come up with the nickname. Like, you have the most literal, it'll be like, there's a story
trials.
About, somebody got hit with a water balloon.
Yeah. Like,
okay, what's the nickname? Hit by water balloon.
No, that is not true.
Anyway.
Listen, I do most of the grunt work, Mark. You could at least give me the nickname.
Sarah, what? Okay. Why are you? What is this about an airport? And what zaniness? What zany adventures have you gotten up to this time?
My only sin was going to the Narita airport to pick up my boyfriend who's coming to visit me.
So he's here now.
He's here now. I think he's sleeping right now.
Oh, okay.
He's still not like.
That's not a good idea.
It's like 7 p.m.
Jet lag.
He's screwing himself by doing that.
Yeah. Mm.
Is he will he listen to this podcast?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Cool. All right. Everybody, best behavior.
Mm-hmm. My mother also listens to it.
Wait, really?
Yeah, we've been over this before.
Yeah. She was like,
it's because I never Skype with her. I never, like, communicate with
her.
So I've never Skyped my mother. I've been here since September, and I've never Skyped
my mother. So you're no longer talking to your mother.
I'm talking to my mother.
You're angry with
just
each other. You had a falling out. And now you're using this podcast
to communicate with her.
Okay.
Hi, Mom.
So what do you want to tell your mom about your trip to the airport to get your boyfriend?
Well, Mom.
Is it about your boyfriend? Is he the one that got in between you and your mom?
Actually, no. No.
Oh, okay. Good. But, I was like, oh, shit. Actually,
I went to the airport to pick him up. And that's like a 2-hour trip.
Yeah.
To me, it's sucky. Trains. But then you get to the airport. And I was just ready to sit and read my Famitsu and just wait for him to get off a plane. And I was super excited because I haven't seen him since I left in September.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I see this news crew out of the corner of my eye, and they're kind of like shuffling around. So it's a guy with a mic, a camera guy, and then a woman with a clipboard. And you always know that that's trouble because I've been interviewed before. So yeah. I see that look in their eye, the look of like,
there's
like,
the foreigner.
You are the deer, and they are like the predator. Yeah. And they kind of like shuffled over to me slowly, like as a group. They just shuffled, and they kind of lean into your
sudden movements. They need to be able to cover.
And then they kind of
scare the foreigner.
The person who was sitting next to me, the Japanese person, like got the fuck out of Dodge. They saw it coming. And they were like, "I'm not going to be on camera." So they like got up and left. And I was like, "No, come back! I need you. Be my shield." So they came and. The first, he looked at me, and he was in my peripheral, and I knew I had to acknowledge him. I knew it was game over. I lost. I have to put up with this. So I look up, and he just, like, looks my face, and he just shouts, "Hello!" Okay. And I'm like, "Hi." And he's like, "What are you doing here?" And then we went into, like,
is
a long...
Is the camera rolling?
The camera's, like, on my face.
Oh, wow.
At this point. It is in, up in my business at this point.
Oh, they didn't even ask permission or anything?
He just said hello, and then he asks, like, "Can we interview you?" And I was like,
okay.
Sure, why not? Uh-huh. I've done this before, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You're, like, telling the story, like, oh, man, they could bombard me or whatever, and you're like, what?
I can't even
hold on, let me do my makeup.
Yeah,
like, put your hair up.
I saw them, and I was getting ready, but... Right. And then he started interviewing me.
Elbow the Japanese guy.
Yeah. Right. Get out of here. Get out. This is mine. But they started interviewing me, and it always like comes back to video games when I talk to like people who interview me in Japan. Because you're like, it goes back to, what do you like about Japan? Like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So then they started asking me about my boyfriend. Uh-huh. And they're like, does he play video games too? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they're like, are you waiting for him? And I'm like, no, I'm just sitting at the airport. But they're like, can we wait too? Can we meet him? And I was just like, and this is after they have like grilled me, like, how long have you been together? Where did you meet? Like, what's your story?
Yes.
Well, so this show, so we should back up. Yeah, had you heard of this show before?
I don't know what Japan, I don't watch like, TV in Japan.
So you don't know about this TV program.
So do you want to tell people about this Hiroko Ear of the Needle? Minamoto.
What?
We'll explain that later. We'll explain that later.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a program. So basically, like, the camera crew waits for people who travel to Japan and interviews them. And basically what they ask is, like, what did they come to Japan for?
Right.
At the airport.
Right.
Yeah.
And actually, David Crislip, I know from Capcom, has been... We actually know a few people who have been...
They hang out there.
They'll
sometimes follow you. If you say you're going somewhere, sometimes they'll go with you to that place and like chronicle your journey through Japan.
Was that the same show where they find you at the supermarket and they're like, they have you buy stuff and then they're like, can we come back and watch you make it?
Oh,
because there's another
maybe not, different. But it's kind of a similar.
But it's always
thing.
Foreigners that they like waylay. Yeah.
Maybe it's like
in
the
this other show
or something.
Right. Yeah, there was one episode I saw where it was like this German woman who like she, you know, she was at the airport and they interviewed her and they're like, why are you here? And she's like, yes, I met this man like 30 years ago and we fell in love and he was like my man fated to be or whatever. But then he moved back to Japan and we didn't contact each other for forever. And then like 30 years later, we've been, you know, pen pals and stuff like that. And yeah, and then she comes to Japan to visit him and then like to chronicle how they, you know, got together and all that stuff.
I really thought that story was going somewhere.
Well, yeah.
I was like, really?
She goes back to Germany.
Unfortunately, well, that's the thing.
That was going to go somewhere.
I wanted to go somewhere, but unfortunately, the guy never showed up on camera.
Right. Okay. And, well, that's a good story.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be one of those kind of podcasts.
Sarah.
Yep.
So how did your little story end then? Your boyfriend shows up.
It momentarily ended where I was still waiting and I was like, oh my God, please show up. Because they had moved slightly away from me, but they were still watching me and making sure that I like didn't try to run away.
Awkward.
So they like weren't standing next to me. They were standing like a couple feet away from me, just like staring at me and like watching me watch people come out of the gate.
It's so awkward.
And I saw my boyfriend and I like got up and I looked at them and they were like all talking amongst themselves. And I walk over there and he's super happy to see me. And I just look at him and I'm just like, I am so sorry. He's like,
Dark cameras on us right now.
And he's like, what is it?
Unnatural.
And then this is like a 13-hour flight. Right. Like, yeah. That he like hasn't slept on. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry. And he looks up and he sees the news
crew. That's
probably
not the first thing you want to say to your boyfriend after not seeing right? Once. He's like probably thinking,
that's like I'm pregnant.
She married a Japanese man.
I think he like saw them like behind me because they were kind of like creeping up on us.
So he had an idea.
So he kind of like immediately like looked up and he was just like, oh my gosh.
Is there a camera on the two of you?
The camera's been on the two of us.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
He like hugs me and I'm just like, oh, I would kiss you.
You should have played it up.
We're on TV.
Yeah. You should have played it up.
Yeah,
but then,
exactly.
Like, the camera guy like approaches him and just starts speaking to him in Japanese, and he's like,
"Oh wow,
speaks no Japanese."
Right.
Oh, boy.
So like I'm translating, and like the translator there translating, and he's just like they're asking him things. And I had told them that, like, since I was little, I, like, wanted to work for Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking at my boyfriend, and they're like, if your girlfriend works for Nintendo, are you going to have a long-distance relationship? Like, things your parents would ask you. Plus, your parents would ask you.
It's like, slow down, Jack.
I know, right? They're like, are you going to have a long-distance relationship? And he's like, no, I guess I would, like, move to Japan, too. Like, ignoring the fact that there's Nintendo of America.
Yeah.
And he's like, I guess I would, like, work in Japan, too. And they were like, who would you work for? And it's just like, it sounds like you're talking to your in-laws.
Well, this has not aired. This just happened.
I don't know.
It happened yesterday.
It happened yesterday.
They didn't tell you.
It just said it was like Japan TV. I didn't inquire. I don't want
to
know.
Did they ask you to sign something?
No, we got like a verbal agreement.
Okay.
Type
thing. They asked you to look at the camera and say we can use
it. Did they ask you to like if they could follow you guys home or anything? Because that's when the show get interesting.
I think we were like too boring. Because like I already kind of like lived here, so we were just kind of stationary.
It's like sometimes they're like I've seen one where they like this guy was gonna bike across Japan, so they all rented bikes too, and they followed him. And like there was one where they followed this Canadian dude who was just like gonna walk from like not Hokkaido, but like the furthest you can get without getting on a boat to Hokkaido.
Right,
he was gonna walk all the way down to like Tokyo or something. Hike, and like halfway through, like in the middle of the night in a tent, that guy just up and left. Like he was like homesick. Didn't tell them, so they wake up in the morning and like he's gone.
Awesome.
They traveled to his house in Canada like months later, tracked him down in like a share house, and was like,
"What happened?"
And he was just like, "I'm sorry, I missed my family, blah blah blah." And then they're like, "Okay, well, we came all the way here. Can we see you for dinner tonight?" And he's just like, "No." Like he's like, "I'm busy." They totally missed him. And I was like, "I thought all Canadians were like super friendly, but."
Yeah.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, and then they just like wandered off, and that was it. That was our experience.
Well, until to be continued. Hopefully,
until
if it
next
comes
like,
on
variety
TV.
Yeah.
Oh God, no!
You're going back to America, so you'll be back at Narita. Maybe they'll.
Oh
get
my gosh,
the
probably catch
two.
Me again.
Mm-hmm. Don't you want to see it edited with commentary from Banana
No,
Man?
I'm already imagining like that. I'm being because I spoke to them in Japanese. I'm imagining myself being dubbed over. Or everything I say in like
katakana.
Really, yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Or like what they like cherry pick to show on TV.
Right. Well, so Hiroko, we introduced you earlier. Ear of the Needle.
No idea
what that's about?
No.
Okay.
Ear of the Needle?
It's another JJ story.
You were telling us about how you pierced your ear.
This is Eye of the Needle, so this is Ear of the Needle.
Okay.
Because you pierced your own ear with a needle.
With a needle.
Did you numb it with ice first?
So I had 3 holes. I don't have them anymore because...
you did it more than once?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so... I think I've iced two of them, but the last one I didn't ice because I heard that it's better to, like, not numb it.
Really?
To just stab the shit out of yourself.
The ice makes it tougher. It makes it, like, firmer, so harder to, like, get through.
Did that not hurt, like, fucking hell?
So, yeah, I had a... then, like, I had an eraser, like, on the back of my ear, and then I just poked myself.
Did you then do the other ear, even after you... when you felt how much it hurt, but you still were able to do the other ear?
Why didn't you just go to a place to get it pierced?
That's what I was wondering, too.
I'm wondering that too.
How old were you when this happened?
I just want to do hood rat stuff. I like to do bad things because it's fun.
No,
that said, I know other people who have pierced their own ears.
Really?
Yeah.
That's some brave shit.
But weren't you guys saying that it's usually like it's more natural or something, or it's like the way you're supposed to do it rather than the guns? Like the
It's like when you
cavemen didn't
your
have
ears,
guns.
Exactly.
At Claire's, they'll do it with a gun, but what happens with it's like immediate. It like shocks the cartilage in your ear. So any piercing, you should get done with like a professional, like needle and just like.
Remember, kids.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any piercing.
I did it the right way. Just, I mean, wasn't sort a professional, of. But.
But then you ended up with like a metal allergy or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. And then
not because
I,
of that, though, right?
No, because of that. Well, I mean, because
it's
of
like your
piercing.
Superhero origin story.
Yeah.
You got bit by a needle when you were young and now all
Allergirl.
Metal. Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of professional, to Hiroko's side, that's Roy Mega Mabudofu Blakely, who was at the Pokemon Cafe. Ooh. Sarah was there too on the same night.
Yes.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
But you didn't go together?
No.
Weird.
Did you guys sit together?
No. We came at different times.
Did you guys pretend to not know each other?
No.
I talked to him.
Just kidding.
I harassed him.
So tell us, give us the short version of that story.
Short version. Okay.
Yeah.
So at 11 o'clock, they turn on this machine that spits out tickets with a number on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically, people line up before 11.
It says like a pop-up cafe, right?
It's
like one of these. Okay. Yeah. And it just opened that weekend.
No, it opened in the beginning of January.
It's open until the end of February. It's open until or something.
Wow, and you guys just happened to go there on the same day.
Yeah.
Or were you like talking about it at the office the day before or something? And you?
Well, I had already had plans to do it because my girlfriend really wanted to go.
Oh, so you're saying Sarah copied you?
No, because my friends already had plans to go that day too.
Yeah, it was just a really weird.
So there's a ticket machine.
Yeah, you wait in line to get,
long
to get a ticket.
Lines.
Yes.
How many flights of stairs? Four.
You were like, let's see. I think you were on like the second floor, and I was like two floors.
Okay,
beneath
so like
you.
Four floors of a line.
Yeah.
Wow. Just snaking back and forth. Yeah. And that's to get the ticket to then?
Just to get the ticket.
Okay, which gives you a time to come back.
Well, the
it
ticket...
doesn't give you a time.
It's interesting. Okay. It has a QR code on it, and you scan the QR code, and then your phone sends an email to this automated service.
Oh, wow.
And it emails you back when your number's going
to
be called.
What if you don't have a smartphone? So cool. You can't go to the Pokemon
brilliant.
Cafe.
No Pokemon. I guess
sorry,
not.
Kids.
Yes. And that's the other thing. Like, their website did not give any of this information, like, very clearly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, yes. So I had actually gone the weekend before thinking, like, I'm just going to stroll into the Pokemon Cafe. and then, like,
Fool!
Like, I got there, and the machine was just, like, off, and there was a guy standing in front of it just shaking his head, like,
Not today.
So then I was like, all right, next weekend we're going to do it.
Right.
So yeah, you get the ticket. Then I, like, went home and, like, took a nap, and then I got...
Are you serious?
Yeah, well, I want
to... Did you have some idea how long
they
the wait
say,
was
they
going
to
be?
They told us that they the said, wait was going to be for 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah, it was
so
seven,
basically,
seven,
you come there at breakfast, and then you eat dinner.
Right.
Okay.
Wow.
So you come back, your number's called or whatever, you finally, you guys both get in.
Yep.
What's it like? What's the crowd like? What's the vibe like? What's the food like?
Well, the first thing they offer is if you want to have your picture taken in front of, like, this Pokemon thing. And they've got, like, Pikachu hoodies, Pikachu ears.
I saw those.
Like, a Pikachu dolls that you can, like, hold. And then
so you did that, of course.
I did that, of course.
Do they sell any of that
photographic
stuff?
Evidence.
Did you they sold, ears? Yeah. They had, like... a smaller range of the same stuff they would have at the Pokemon Center.
Yeah.
Okay. But wait, did you have to pay money for your picture?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. That's so good. Then
you sit down at a little table, and I mean, the menu, we'd already been like looking over it because
for 6 hours.
Well, no, actually, I had been looking at it, like, way before that because it was online.
Yeah.
Like, so I already knew exactly what I wanted.
Nice.
So, and they actually have you order in line too.
The waiters and stuff dressed up like NPCs and just walk around
they
in
have
random
Pikachu
ways throughout
that
the cafe
would be amazing.
Or walk back and
that
forth.
That would be smart.
That'd
be
right? Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome?
And they should play like the background music. Remember that time in Shibuya like 5 or 6 or 7 years ago or something where they played the Cerulean, what is it, Cerulean City or whatever?
Cerulean City.
Music, like the pixel music. I'm not pixel music, the chip music over the like the speakers in Shibuya Sentagai, so like it sounded like you were in a Pokemon game walking around
sweet.
Outside. That's what it should be like in the cafe.
They were playing some
songs from the game.
Did they play like the battle music and all?
Yeah, actually.
All of a sudden, everybody's like, "Oh shit!"
You get a little bit of like little anxiety. You're like,
"Yeah,
oh,
yeah."
Oh.
There should be like adrenaline a show like in. Where someone comes out with a Pokeball and then like they do a little fight and they leave and
right?
stuff like that.
Maybe. So
get a little cat dressed up.
No,
a little bit of drama.
No, that happened.
It was very mechanical. You ordered your thing
like a
while waiting
grass
in line.
Where if you walk in and someone just starts beating you up.
Yeah, so you order while you're waiting in line to get in after your number's called.
Yeah.
And then they're like, they explain, like, after this order, you can't order anything else. You only have an hour. It's all very, like,
right.
by the books. Even though the people who were next to us were definitely there for longer than an hour. So
there were 2 open tables by our table that
really?
I saw. Yeah.
That's weird.
Still and they just weren't, I mean, I think they story. Were just doing it based on, like, food production, like, what they could produce versus how many people they could seat.
Yeah. So, what did you guys order, and how
well,
was it?
I got mabo tofu, which was, like, if you don't know what that is, it's, like, minced, spiced beef, right? With, like...
Mm-hmm. Dorito it.
Yeah, Dorito it.
Yeah.
And tofu. Mm-hmm. And then you have that with rice. But for mine, the tofu was shaped like a Pokeball. So half of it was red, which was kind of like weird.
That
I've
is
never
a
had
weird.
Red tofu before.
Is this a food item from the game?
No.
But there are some food items that are from the
there
game.
There was only
right?
one. It was a drink
okay.
that in the Japanese version there's this drink called Mix Olay, which they translated as lemonade in the American version for some reason. But I got that because I was like, oh, it's awesome. It's an item in the game. And I was all excited because it looked like it came in this cool jar.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I actually got it, I saw that it was a jar with just a piece of paper taped around it.
It pretty much like sums up my entire
you
experience at the
it.
Pokemon Cafe. Like,
yeah.
It like sums it up
right
there. It
right?
was a jar with a piece
of paper
taped
yeah,
around it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, that dish that you tweeted pictures
the
of, Sarah,
omuraisu?
Looked, yeah,
I yeah. guess,
pretty impressive looking. I don't know how
it
tasted.
It looked better on the menu, and like
it
all of it looked
better
on the menu.
Yeah.
This
That's
is the one that was shaped like Pikachu that
yeah,
came with like the
you
blood.
You could get either like the
blue?
Red sauce for Ruby or the blue sauce for Sapphire, but
blue
the blue sauce was
yeah.
weird.
Yeah.
It's
my
scary.
Girlfriend got the blue sauce.
She's brave.
Yeah.
Because I looked at that and I was just like, that's
blue,
not happening.
Yeah.
But when you poured it on Pikachu's face, this red sauce on this, you know,
that
yellow
pretty
red,
wrong
it looks
too.
Like you like, murdered him.
Yeah.
Like, and then you start eating
and
it
he's
and
like
it starts
smiling
like flowing
too,
about.
So
yeah. It gets like, you're like, oh, it's so cute. And then you start eating it and it gets more and more like disturbing. And you're just like, what am I doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's terrible.
Speaking of disturbing, our final guest, guest regular, that is John P.S. Whipped Ricciardi.
P.S. Whipped.
Why is that?
P.S. 20th anniversary.
Oh.
Whipped Ricciardi.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, is that out in the public now? I got a PlayStation, a certain PlayStation.
Yep.
A certain very rare PlayStation that only 12,300 units exist.
Yep.
Supposedly. They probably made like 100,000 and just say that to make money on eBay. But,
I don't know. We have a news story that one of them sold for like $130,000 in Japan.
You got a deal.
But it was serial number one and it was for charity or something. I think like Kazurai or somebody probably like
my serial
been
number
on
was
it,
like 2,600 something. But
are you using it?
Good though.
I'm going to. It's beautiful. The packaging is amazing. Like I would hope they would have done it right considering they made so few of them. But yeah, they did it right. It's like super gorgeous. Packaging.
It's got the camera.
The box is huge.
It's got the camera.
Yeah,
you open it up and it's got this like fancy foam, not like the crap foam. It looks like, you know, like you were opening like a giant thing of like jewelry or something. Like it's like super nice packaging. System itself
I wouldn't
is beautiful.
Go that far,
controller. It is really nice.
It's
not
nice,
even, like,
but not
almost,
jewelry nice.
It's not like velveted.
Yeah.
Like, it's not
well,
that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not.
But it's the packaging too. Like it feels like it looked like metal. It's not metal, but it actually looks like it's like shiny and everything. The controller is beautiful. Everything about it is gorgeous. But I got I was lucky enough to get my hands on a system from the U.S. But everybody knows I'm a crusader for the circle button,
yes.
correct button,
the right
confirmation button. So I'm thinking of trying to
I talked to people on Twitter about this, but I'm thinking of trying to swap the... I have a Japanese PS4 at home.
Man, that's...
I'm thinking of swapping the shell so I can have the 20th anniversary PS4, but have it be a Japanese PS4.
Is there not an option of potentially swapping your U.S. PS 20th anniversary with somebody who has a Japanese PS 20th anniversary?
Where am I going to find one? There's so few.
I mean,
I'm not going to do this unless it's totally safe.
5 or 10 people.
Maybe. But most people who are, if they're smart, they would want to keep the Japanese one because it's superior.
Mm-hmm.
But
why don't you just have two at home?
No, I don't want to. That's
why what reason would that be? Why are you...
Oh, you say this like I'm the only one who has a girlfriend or a spouse or whatever who wouldn't want like extra game junk in their house. Come on, everyone is the same.
I'm just saying.
My shit's already crowded as it is. She did say she likes this one. I gave her the choice. I was like, do you like the black one better or you like this one? She likes this one better. So I will probably replace
it.
A woman of refined taste.
I don't know.
Really?
It's gray and it's just like...
It doesn't really...
Well, you're a gamer. She likes it because it's going to collect less dust. She actually told me that. Okay. Like the black one takes a lot of dust. I understand.
That's some logic right there.
Right. Yeah. But we'll see. But yeah, it's super nice. I'm super excited. I was able to get one. Super thanks to the people who were willing to sell me theirs.
Secrets.
But, yeah.
So you are going to use it. You're not keep it in the box.
Well, if I can't, I'm not going to keep it in the box. I'm not a keep it in the box guy. Like I open all my amiibos. I open stuff because if you don't open it, what's the point? Like,
you have some stuff though that you have kept in the box. Some,
like what?
Well, like the Famicom. What was it? Game Boy Advance.
Oh yeah, but I've opened it and taken it out.
You don't use it. I mean, you took it out of the box once.
Who's
going to
use a Game Boy Advance? I mean, that's more of just a collectible. My Rob the Robot's in a box too, but not because I want to keep it there forever. Just because I don't have a better.
You don't
place
spend
to
your Saturday
right
nights
now.
With Rob.
Not yet. Mark.
All right then. Why don't we talk about the games that we've been playing or not playing, as the case may be. John, actually, you played Codename Steam, at least the
demo.
Demo.
Yeah, I'm bummed. I tried to finish the demo, but I ran out of time.
That's one of those limited, one of those.
It's like 30 plays. Yeah.
But I mean. Did you have to get it from somewhere, or is it just downloadable?
It's downloadable now.
Okay,
in the store, yeah.
Did it go out to GameSpot Managers?
It went to like GameSpot Managers
or
first or something, but yeah.
But now anybody can get it.
Yeah, it's out there, only in the U.S., and it's the latest, you know, strategy game from Intelligent Systems, kind of a action, I would call it like a strategy RPG, but with more action elements. Like you kind of play from the viewpoint of the character, like down on the field. Like you can't look at the grid, the whole map from overhead or anything.
Right.
You can
right.
only see kind of like the perspective or the view from your character.
I read an interesting write up on Eurogamer that was talking about that, where like taking cover is a plus and a minus because you're behind cover, but actually your view is impeded. And so sometimes your squad, you'll actually kind of like designate a guy to go up high so he can look down and see kind of what else is going on.
Right.
Like it's a big deal. Kind of the viewpoint, the camera is not like Fire Emblem where it's separated out and floating above or something.
Yeah, no. And I mean, I could be that I'm not used to it yet, but I was kind of like wishing I could look because I mean, I guess it would totally change the game though. Like
that was something that this article commented on, saying that at first, it took some getting used to, but then you start to see like, you know, the appeal.
Yeah, and I've only played 3 or 4 stages into the demo, so I'm not. Again, I wanted to finish it, but I kept dying on the last stage. So in the demo, at the far as I got anyway, I had two characters in my party, and one of them died, but I kept going. But that means I only had one guy left for the rest of the stage. And there are save points, but you can only use them once. So it's kind of like the easy mode of Fire Emblem, where like you're allowed to save on certain points. I should say some Fire Emblems. I don't remember which one was like this, but one of them had this, where like you could save once if you wanted to. But like once you do use the save, it's gone. And so I died after that, and I kept continuing from the save point. And I tried everything, and I just couldn't beat the level, so I had to start over from the beginning. But it's interesting. It's like, so steam is like your sort of movement currency. It's like the amount of steam in your little gauge or whatever is how far you can take actions, like moving or attacking enemies. And it's, you know, the game is really like presentation heavy. Like it's all voice acting. Every line of dialogue has a voice, and
nice.
Voice acting's pretty good too. and it's very much comic style, like people have probably seen in the trailers and stuff.
Right, it's like Silver Age, kind of like heavy outline.
Yeah, it's got crazy ass story, like Abraham Lincoln is like in an airship, like commanding you to like do missions or
the
something.
The Japanese title is like Steam Abraham Lincoln versus,
aliens. Yeah.
Is there like a bear that you control at some point or something, too? One of your troops?
Maybe. John Henry just joined my team, so whatever that means.
But, does it look better on a 3DS screen? Because in the screenshots
on the what?
On the 3DS screen, because in screenshots and videos, it looks a little like hard to look at.
I think it looks fine. I think it looks good. Yeah, visuals are not an issue. I'm not sure yet. Like, it's weird. Like, it's so polished and it feels like so cool. Like, I'm like, oh man, this game is so cool to be playing. But yet, I haven't like had that point yet where it hit me where I'm like, okay, this is like in my veins, like Fire Emblem, and I can't stop. One of the things that's really annoying so far in the demo, and I couldn't find a way to change this, is like you have to sit through enemy turns, and like they take a long time to think. So like, which is like reminiscent of like games in like the 90s, but like not any recent games, where like I'll do my turn, and then the alien turn will come up, and it'll be like, you know, there's like a little bar at the bottom of the screen, and you just wait and wait and wait and do that like three more times before they get through their turn, and nothing is happening. There's no like map to look at. You're just sitting there like looking around the field, unable to move, waiting for the turn to happen. You can't skip it, as far as I could tell.
So the AI is just like crunching numbers or whatever.
And I don't have the new XL isn't out yet in the US, so I'm playing on an old one. I was wondering if maybe the new one might be faster.
I bet it would be.
Theoretically. Yeah. That's like one notch against it, but otherwise, everything about it seems really cool. I'm pretty excited to play more. It definitely seems like it would appeal to people who play like more like are into shooters and stuff too, because it's very much has like a feel of like a kind of like a tactical turn-based shooter.
I think that was kind of the idea, right? Yeah. It's like Advance Wars, Fire Emblem, but then merging it with a more like Western style, right? Like shooter style, and also the story and the thematic and the kind of comic book look of it and stuff like that seems very much more, you know, skewed to the West than somebody like Intelligent Systems would normally.
Totally. So it could just be that it's a demo too. I don't know, but I hope the real game, because I mean, that will add up over the course of a 20-hour game, 30-hour game, like sitting for 5 to 10 seconds every time the enemy takes a turn and not being able to skip it is more time than I want to take. But besides that,
that's your potty break. That's your check Twitter potty break time.
Yeah, not when you. I mean, you take turns every like this fast. Like it's your turn, it's their turn, it's your turn. It should be fast, but it's, you know, because of that, it's not.
So, I see.
The music is amazing, too, by the way. Really good music.
So. You know who does it? Or?
I don't.
Okay.
Is it, like, what type of music? Is it, like, time? Is it, like, 19th century? Like,
no, it's... I couldn't, like, parade put a genre or on or a theme or anything. Parade music. No, it's, like, it's just, like, you know, good action. It just sounds like they got a really good composer to do the music. I mean, Intelligent Systems games always have really good music, so... But I couldn't,
is like orchestral? Like?
No. Just, like, good, like, in-the-moment sort of action music that makes you, like, yeah, I want to fight sort of music, you know?
Okay. What else? Anything else? Who else has been playing? What else? JJ, actually, yes. I want to talk to you about Darkest Dungeon. They were cool enough to send us a bunch of codes for the game.
Yes, thank this you. Is a game I wanted anyway.
Yeah, me too. But we didn't. Neither of us backed it on Kickstarter.
No, okay. I didn't know about it till after the Kickstarter was over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. It was one of those things where I was like, oh man, this is cool. Okay, like I'll come back to this, and then you just like whatever happens, you forget about it. But like, really did well on Kickstarter and deservedly so. Like, really cool idea. We've talked about it before on the podcast a few times. A really interesting artistic look to it as well.
Yeah. It also it's like if Steam is like old American comics, this is like 90s American comics, like really thick blacks, kind of like almost like a Batman comic even.
But, and you know, we talked about it before, and it's an RPG, the bones of an RPG.
Yeah.
But then on top of it is this all this like psychological kind of aspect to it.
Yeah.
Is there like a name for the system by which like your guys...
Oh, I don't think they give it a particular name, but I just call it like the sanity system, because it's like...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Let's call it that.
Well, yeah, with the sanity system, because like basically...
Well, it's not like you're going insane, right? It's more emotional...
No.
Like,
but you can go insane.
Well, yeah, you can go insane. That's true. Like, it's not always like your sanity that goes...
It's like some Lovecraftian kind of very much bent to it.
Yeah,
right?
There's like people who speak in that old Cthulhu language and stuff like that. It's pretty cool because like basically the main gameplay is you start out in a town, you can recruit guys into your party, and then you take them into a dungeon
when you're navigating the town.
I'm sorry.
Which part
Sarah,
of that was that?
I'm sorry.
Which part of
I'm
that
sorry.
Was that funny? This is a kid. This kid listens to this podcast.
That is hilarious.
She thought, like, you know,
recruit
you
guys,
go down
bring
into
them to a
dungeon.
Dungeon.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What?
What? All right. tell me at the break.
We're too old, Mark.
Yeah. So, anyways, you
okay? I'm not gonna guess at what that was.
You recruit, adventurers. And then you take them down into the dungeon. That's a key distinction, because you are playing the owner of this manor who needs to kind of rid it of evil.
Okay.
And you follow these adventurers into this dungeon, and they have to clear it out for you.
So
basically,
you're navigating a dungeon.
Side-scrolling,
I'm sorry.
It's side-scrolling. Yeah. It's side-scrolling. No. In the town, it's just a screen.
Oh.
When you're in the dungeon, it's side-scrolling.
Okay.
You get four adventurers in your party.
Yep.
And you, like, go from room to room, and, like, the main gameplay always pretty much happens in the hallways, where, like, you'll come up against enemies, just random things in the middle of the way, just all sorts of stuff. And meanwhile, you have to... It's dark. It's the darkest dungeon. So you have to have these... You have to keep your torch lit, because as your torch starts to fade, it gets darker, enemies get stronger, loot gets better, and your sanity also starts to kind of tick away as it gets darker. And yeah, you like...
So you can die... Can you die from A, losing your health, or B, like losing your shit?
No.
Like losing your sanity?
Well, I mean, in a roundabout way, yes. But you can only die by getting killed by another guy. But, like, some of the sanity effects make it so, like, your character refuses to attack because he's too chicken shit.
Right.
And then he'll basically just die. He'll miss or just, like, you know, whatever. Sometimes they'll, like, panic. Like, in this game, you can flee from battles,
right.
But, like, maybe one of your guys gets so scared he panics, and he won't let you flee or anything like that, because he doesn't know what to do.
And they're talking the whole time, right? Like, people are saying stuff.
They'll say stuff, and there's a narrator, too, who, like, is a great narrator. Hmm. He's just, like, got this really deep voice, and very reminiscent of
Bastion,
although it's a little bit, like, more creepy. Haruki won't watch this game. He's just, it's too scary. But yeah, it's cool because, like, some of the sanity effects are actually work out in your favor.
Every time you say that, I can't not think of Dennis Dyack. I wish we could.
I know.
Really?
This is like you take Dennis Dyack's idea and make it actually good. and like sometimes they'll bounce back from it. They'll get so tense or whatever that they'll, like, you know, overcome it and become, like, super strong.
Oh,
for
cool.
Instance.
Okay.
And like.
It's like the Hulkamania effect.
Basically. And like as those characters progress through the stage, or through different quests and stuff like that, they'll get different kind of ticks and stuff like that. That'll, like, sometimes they'll get additional sanity effects. Like they'll start out with, like, you know, they'll be scared when they get to whatever. But the next time they'll get one of those good ones or something like that. And you can actually cure them in the town by going to, like, a monastery or a tavern, where they'll just drink so much that they'll, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of, like, character management, because you never want to stick to one party, because characters die really quickly and...
Really?
Yeah, and they go insane pretty quickly.
So
though I hear that's going
to
be...
Party, you don't, like, build a party of guys who you know and come to love?
Eventually, yes, but, like, they even warn you at the very beginning of the game, this paragraph comes up and be like, you know, this game is about making the best of a really shitty situation, and you shouldn't be, like, that attached to your party, because they'll die. They'll eventually die.
Is there a you and then the rest of the party, or is
you
it
don't see yourself? You don't
people?
See yourself, but it's the four random people, and you're, like, the owner of the manor.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So, yeah, I've heard a bunch, just, it's only been out now, like...
It's still in early access.
It's still in early
access.
So
you actually can't beat the game yet. There are still three dungeons that are, they need to be put in, and they're, like, patching it pretty heavily. Next week, they're gonna fix a lot of the problems with the sanity system. You, like, go insane really quickly right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to fix it so it's not so...
The game looks really good. I don't play, like, a ton of PC games. I mean, especially when I'm super busy now. But I actually went and downloaded that. Super appreciate those guys hooking us up. I cannot wait to play it.
I think it's going
to
come out on Vita. It looks like a game that would be great for iPhone, because, like, it can be played completely with the mouse without any sort of keyboard.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, definitely.
It could totally be on the iPad or iPhone. But cool. Yeah, it's really... I think it's really great and worth it. Even in early access. I know I'm like a anti-early access guy, but
well, isn't
the game
it,
is good
does
enough
the
right
proper
now.
Release not coming out soon? Or?
I think it's coming out soon, but like, yeah, they're still working on some stuff. So.
Okay.
It's really great to see like Kickstarter games turn into actual
right?
yep. good.
This is two you know. Kickstarter games, this and Shovel Knight, that came out really freaking awesome. So all the haters out there who are like, Kickstarter games suck, there's two really, really good examples right there.
Speaking of haters, Hiroko.
Haters.
Yeah.
No, that's just meaningless segue. Okay. I want to talk to you about Dreeps, the game that we talked about last time.
Uh-huh.
But we had just downloaded as it came out,
right.
the alarm setting game.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. JJ, you've been playing this as well. Yeah. I have it too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my phone with me right now, unfortunately, but...
I got my little party member.
It's just so
nice.
Cute. You
yeah.
got a party
yeah.
member?
It is cute, yeah. You got
how,
a party
how
member.
Does that help?
You, there are bosses. If you look on the map, there's a... in the
really
top, le-
to
top right corner.
I need to download
I'm a because
so
I'm sleeping. My guy's sleeping.
Oh.
I didn't wake him up.
Yeah, you know, I gotta confess, I don't entirely understand how the game is supposed to work.
Me too.
Yeah, like, yeah. so every time I like go in,
right.
I set an alarm, sometime the guy...
And the alarm doesn't even work.
...is asleep. Yeah, the alarm doesn't go
you
off.
Gotta,
it does.
You have, to you, set have, on, you have to turn on notifications.
You have to turn on notifications.
I that.
And you have to turn off manner mode.
Maybe I have my manner mode. I thought I did that one time and couldn't get it to
so
go.
Does the alarm
yeah,
like,
I got
go off
pissed
like
because
alarm?
It didn't
yeah.
work. The alarm didn't work for me.
Right?
Because
if it doesn't work, people are going to be late places.
Yeah.
yeah. That's what
exactly.
I... When it didn't work one time, I'm like, I'm not going to use
yeah,
this.
I was scared.
Me too.
I
was like, fuck this.
It.
This is not going to be my alarm.
I don't use an alarm, so I don't. It doesn't really bother me. But I did try it once and it worked.
So, JJ, you... understand the game and I've been playing it
well
like the
I
most.
Sort of understand it but basically what I think the key is this is a game that runs automatically so that guy's
there
gonna,
you go
that guy's gonna join your party when you beat him
I see
so Roko is fighting what looks like kind of like a boss right now
yeah
seems like,
looks
I'm
like this
fighting,
game would give you seizures like her screen is freaking out right now it looks
right.
awesome
it does look super cool
to talk
I
about
just
the
watch right
right you just stuff. Watch there's nothing you do except for sometimes like they'll run out of energy and you have to touch them and they'll come back up and start moving again
right.
but like the key to the game mostly is checking in from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice on the map, it'll show like a time where this one says there's a clock that says 22.
Right.
That means at like 22, 10 o'clock, I should check and then I'll fight a boss.
Oh, really? That's you can
yeah.
tell when you'll be at the next like,
yeah.
thing.
You'll fight a boss or he'll fight a boss and you'll watch him.
He'll fight
yeah.
a boss.
Okay,
there's no actual gameplay to this game. Except outside of like, you know, just
managing
checking and watching
your dude, yeah.
and,
right.
and stuff like that. And then, so, you know, that you'll there are these bosses towards the end of the game that will add different alarms.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also, they'll also become your party members. So on my screen, I have like four of the different alarms open. I just
what
got
the
this.
Different alarms do?
They just sound different and they bring up different party members that you can
are they cool?
With.
So you set a certain alarm and then that one party member will be
that's
in
right.
your... are the different alarm sounds cool? Do they sound like the boss's sound?
They're just like little tones. I haven't mm-hmm. listened to them all because, like, you know, I don't wake up to alarms and I just hate alarms.
Right.
But the one that I did
like
was cool. Like,
you.
The music has really good... I mean, the game has really good music, so the
right.
alarms are also cool.
Yeah, the aesthetics on the whole thing are awesome. Like, really, really
yeah.
cool.
The art is beautiful. It reminds me of Wonder Project J. You remember that? Like,
yeah.
Super Nintendo game. Like, it basically looks N64 like...
N64 game, right?
Well, it was also N64, yeah.
Oh,
it, but
okay.
there's, like, basically, like, 16-bit-esque, like, visuals from that era of, like, PC Engine and stuff where, like, your character might have, like, two shades of color on their, like, hair or whatever, but it just looks really cool because it has that sort of
right.
pixel, you know,
It's really well done
aesthetic.
Pixel art with some kind of modern effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a little bit of, like, motion blur
right.
and glow effects applied to some of the more, like, electrical-looking attacks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're still enjoying it, JJ? You haven't unlocked all the alarms yet?
I haven't unlocked all the alarms. It's not like, you know, it's not a game that you really have to pay attention to, so...
I mean, you don't have to pay attention. As a matter of fact, if you're paying attention to it, it's kind of boring.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's made for just checking in
right.
and, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
I tried to pay attention to it, like,
yeah.
at the beginning. Like, I had it, like, open at my desk. But, like, nothing changes.
Right.
So I'm like, okay.
It's kind of like.
Not how you.
It's kind of like
play
it just.
This game.
If you have it on the background, it's just something that, you know, it's just meant to, like, you look at it and
you're
like,
oh,
you're
checking your phone.
It's like a Tamagotchi
almost. Like, oh, what's going on? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So cute.
What's
I love
like
the
end goal? Like,
I actually don't know.
What happens at the end? Does your little hero keep wandering?
I have two more guys to unlock, so maybe I'll know.
End game. Well, I don't know. We will check in next time. Hero goes into combat now.
Yeah, that's me. I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, John is. Yeah, okay.
He's fighting a robot.
It'd
it looks
be cute
awesome.
If you could like put them together and they could like meet each other.
That would actually be really cool cute. If you put that. Actually, a really good idea. Yeah. You should be a game designer.
There you go.
Yes.
There
you new go. Life goals.
So, other stuff we've talked about before. Roy, you're playing Monster Strike and Terror Battle, but only for like 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, I'm just re-rolling both of them. I had an old iPhone that had a pretty respectable Monster Hunter or not Monster Strike file, but it stopped being able to receive Wi-Fi. So I think my save is, like, pretty much lost forever. So I decided, like, I just got a new phone over the weekend. And
by the way,
I did. Yes.
Congratulations, yes.
Yay!
About damn time.
I do, yes. I will put it on the whiteboard.
What?
I'm sorry.
She was tapping on her microphone.
I was tapping.
Tap on your knee or something.
So since I'm starting fresh, I was like, I'm going to just re-roll both these games while on my way to work and my way from work. So that's what I've been doing in both of them, and
just re-rolling each way every day.
Yep.
Trying to get a good
yes.
And but you haven't got one yet.
No. No. Monster Strike's pissing me off. By the way, they've got that. What's the?
He looks at me like it's my fault.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell somebody that how angry I am, right? What's the one they have up now where you can get the samurai dudes? What's it called? It's like
Bakuhatsu something. I forget.
Yeah. They should call it like Matsu. John Manjiro Fever or something, because that's all I get out of that fucking
John Manjiro.
That's all I get.
Wait. Is his name really John Manjiro?
Yeah,
I think
it's
yeah.
The
oh,
John
yeah,
Manjiro.
Really?
Okay,
yeah, from history. Yeah,
that's all that comes
from
out of
history.
That machine.
Not that it was that long ago, but he. There's a new Hatcher coming out tomorrow or today when you're listening to this. That's got some good stuff, and the rates will be pretty decent, I hear. So it's worth another shot.
Cool.
Reroll tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I definitely
your
will.
Monster Strike Minute.
I'm up to that game is out for 107 days now. I know because I've logged in every day since it's out.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
I'm like rank 11. 111. I have like an amazing team.
You're
wow. Still hooked on
bit,
it. But I have stuck to my resolution. Haven't spent
good
a cent
jobs.
In 2015.
Congratulations.
Wow. Proud of you.
Yep.
You lasted for a month.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will continue to last. I'm not spending
good,
any
good.
Money.
Good, good. That was my next question.
So I'll move to Amiibos.
Yeah.
right.
That's true.
We have
coming up in the news.
Yeah, exactly. Other games we talked about before. I started playing The Swapper, which was...
Nice. What do you
now,
think?
Now, last month's free PS and Plus game.
Yeah.
I like it. Like
yeah.
it's really good. It's not too wordy, but it has like a what I'm finding to be so far a kind of like a interesting like I'd call it like a light narrative.
Yeah.
To it. Big on atmosphere. Definitely kind of like a Super Metroid-y vibe.
Yes.
Kind of like a similar viewpoint and like layout of the game, but yeah, the graphics are very simple but very interesting. Like you were talking about, like almost seems like a claymation.
Yeah.
At some points,
apparently it is. But.
Yeah. Well, and it's yeah, maybe they were originally modeled that way or something, and then put in. But yeah, like good puzzles. You know, right now it reminds me of. Yeah, like a Limbo or like a side-scrolling Portal kind of thing. Where
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Okay, I know I have everything I need to do to get through this room. It's not a matter of, like, Super Metroid, oh, maybe I'm just missing an item or something like that. It's more just like, okay, I need to know, you know, I need to learn this new aspect of something that I already know how to do. And this is a puzzle that's going to teach me that. The next one is going to teach me the next aspect. And then the one after that is going to like combine those two things.
Yeah,
and,
it's got a really good progression like that.
Yeah, and it's not, and I, the way I say that, it makes it sound very dry and, you know, like a textbook. But you're not, that's just in retrospect. Like, you're not feeling that way while you're playing the game.
No, and sometimes you get stumped, and like, it does make you feel good to figure these puzzles out.
Yeah. So yeah, I liked it. It's definitely like as a PSN Plus game, great. And yeah, I think it'd go out on a limb to say it would be worth the money to buy, even if it wasn't.
I just downloaded a PlayStation Plus game last week. I can't remember what. What was like out? It wasn't that. Were there other good games?
Transistor.
I already had Transistor.
Transistor is this month.
You're right.
This month, Rogue Legacy is up. By the way,
yes,
which is
oh, yeah.
a game
Yakuza
that's
4
been
too.
Keeping me up every night.
Yeah, yeah. Is Yakuza 4?
PS3.
PS3, yeah. Okay.
That's one of the good Yakuzas. I would totally...
Yeah, I just downloaded something else, too. I haven't played it yet anyway, though. But yeah, PS Plus continues to be amazing. Like, it's such an amazing deal. Like, to get... My library is, like, huge, and it's mostly
though,
stuff
like, I just bought Transistor on a Steam sale.
Wah, wah. Mm.
I would still download it. It's more fun to play on a TV.
Anyway. Yeah, true.
I agree. Yeah, but, I mean, is your PC not hooked up to your TV?
It is.
Oh, okay.
But I don't really have a good way to control it just yet.
You know, I hear since we talked about it last, which was a long time ago, like right when Dark Souls 2 came out.
Yeah.
And I was, and I think you had tried to use the PS4
right.
controller on a PC wirelessly via Bluetooth.
Is that better now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I hear that like development forked and there's like two different ones, but that there's one that's just like solid amazing.
Oh good, okay, because I want to get rid of my PS3 controller and go full PS4.
It's so weird to me that the publisher like Sony and Microsoft don't just make those things out of the box like 100% ready to work on a PC, or like give
at the very least Microsoft should be doing
give the developers the tools they need at least. It's like, because you're just going to sell tons of extra controllers if you do that, like
yeah.
But and I hear the Xbox One controller now works really well as well. It's not an official thing, I don't think, either. But right.
My Xbox One, man, is on the brink. Like, I have not turned it on in months, and I was, you know, struggling to find space under my television, and I was thinking of, like, actually putting it away, but I'm not, because,
dun,
like...
Dun, dun.
You know, I know sooner or later there's going to be enough cool stuff on it, but, like,
right.
Now that they announced Super Time Force coming to PS4, that's, like, the one game I was, like, keeping it on for in the first place. That's and IDARB is really cool, too, but it's, like...
Yeah, actually, I want to check that out.
What does IDARB stand for?
It
because I can't think of
something.
It draws a blue.
No, it's RB. It draws a
red
box or something like that, or red block,
something like that.
Red I can only, I, every time I see that, I'm like, oh yeah, our friend Brad Darb.
Yep, Darb.
IDARB.
Salaboot.
You should get a shirt that's just IDARB.
Yeah.
Anything else from anyone else in terms of games we've been playing? I've actually started up The Evil Within again. Just like chipping away at it when...
Did you finish it last time?
When I have time, no. I got to like chapter 12, I think, which I'm pretty close to the end. And I think I got through like another two chapters. I'm actually really enjoying it.
DLC's coming soon.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to finish it ahead of, to be ready for the DLC. It's a little weird getting reused to the controls, only because I've been playing some other games that we can't talk about, and of course, like a lot of Destiny still, now that the Hard Crota Raid has come out. That is awesome.
When is the next expansion coming out for that?
They have not said.
Oh.
Yeah, House of Wolves. We know what it's called, but they haven't said. There was a slide that leaked that had it coming out I think like in March or something.
That sounds about right.
No, because they would be talking about it by now, like 2 months before the Dark Below they were. Yeah, so
okay,
I you know, who knows, but Bungie did come out and say that slide was very, very old, so don't like, you know, read anything into it.
Okay.
But I wish it would be soon, because we're finally getting to that point. I'm finally getting to that point, along with a lot of people who I know who are really hardcore players, where you're just kind of straight out running out of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Like, just even the loot in the Hard Raid, which just launched like 2 weeks ago, there's just not... That you just kind of have everything.
Yeah, you've collected all that needs to be collected.
You've collected all that needs to be collected. There's just, I mean, it's still fun to do and raid with your friends, and you're kind of like getting stuff for other people. But like the crazy currency that was, you know, strange coins that people were so you know, sought after now, they're just, people have tons of them. I have tons of them because there's nothing
not so strange
that
anymore.
Great, yeah, left in the shop that comes around on the weekends, you know, that you spend that stuff on. And don't get me wrong, I'm still loving the Hard Raid and stuff like that, but there's less and less to do every week, so that's pretty soon.
You're getting a peak Destiny.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to somebody about this. I think that they're not, because they don't charge for the monthly rate. Maybe we talked about this on the podcast, right? Yes. They don't charge a monthly subscription fee, so I don't think they're thinking people are going to play it solidly until the next expansion. I think they're thinking it'll be like any game.
That's
where
silly because
like,
you want them
that's
to
yeah
be
that's
doing
okay
that.
That's well it's not really okay but that's like sort of okay for now but I mean and I'm sure they are not thinking that way long term but you can't be thinking that way long term that well, game has the potential to be like an ongoing everyday
it's
like,
a 10-year game man
but spending thing, money and playing the game
but actually
thing.
As long as you are happy with what you got the last time and will buy the next thing happily. Then it doesn't. I mean, it's less server load for them, right?
Well,
it's like
that's thinking like a business guy, yeah. But that's shitty, right? If you're making an awesome game, you want people. I mean, from
well,
a consumer
course,
standpoint,
you should
want
be worried about people
about
moving
Twitter,
on to the next
thing.
They want people like
right.
YouTubing about it, and of course, I'm not saying that they
no,
ever
but you're
want
right.
that.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it is actually in their benefit. It's their it's
but
their
I'm
advantage
it's
for them
not,
to not. Yeah.
I'm saying it's a different business model than WoW or EverQuest or something that we're used to.
To use a current reference.
Well, what should it be? Like,
no,
what
I think
is a subscription.
I think,
what's the last MMO
Final
that
Fantasy
launched 14. With a subscription service?
Final Fantasy
I mean, the last
14.
Big good one. Would be
yeah.
Final Fantasy
there you
14,
go, Final yeah. Fantasy 14. But yeah, I think as long, but that's the key is making sure people got their money worth and are happy and
right.
then are excited for the next thing coming.
But
out.
I think even if that's the thing, like. People will be moving on to just go on to Destiny talk. I think people, what they should be worried about is people going on to other games, doing other things, and then just being like, oh yeah, Destiny expansion comes out. Because every time that happens, every time someone like looks at something else, the chances of them going back are getting
well,
less.
Well, especially
and less
when you're a competitive
less.
Player and then you suddenly are like three levels behind everyone else and it's like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to get good at something else.
Right.
So. Well, that's the thing, though. I think the people who I'm talking about, like me anyway, are as good yeah. as you can get. And then that's the reason why that's the only reason why they're putting it down. It's just like, okay, well, I've done everything now. And so. Yeah. You know, I wish that they were coming up with weird things to be doing, like remixing stuff or doing whatever on the weekends, so
yeah.
that there was just an excuse to play.
John Manjaro level.
There you go. Because the game is still super fun, you know, on a very base level. It's just you want the excuse to play, so, you know, even getting stuff for your friends is still a good excuse to play. It's just all your friends are getting everything they
right,
need,
they
too,
should,
and so...
I feel like they probably could, like, do things like, you know, like, I don't know, take one of the enemies and make them super huge and give them a lot of life. I don't know.
Well, they did... I mean, they did some stuff early on in the game where they had, like,
big
you know,
mode.
The queen, whatever, this weekend. What it's more about is, like, loot. Yeah. Like, oh,
right.
this weekend... jump through all these hoops that you've jumped through 100 times, but this time we're going to give you, like, a helmet or something. And people will do it happily.
Hmm.
Super happily. But anyway, you know, they also have to hold stuff back for their next expansion and yada yada. So, anyway, that is This Week in Destiny. And that's it for all that I've been playing. Was there any other games that anybody else wanted to talk about? Any
no.
of your mobile garbage?
Well, to go back to Terra Battle, they added online co-op.
Has anyone tried it? I guess you probably
have. I
have. Is
yeah.
it any good? Is that
it's
game even like? What do you do online?
You
play
with,
against people, or are you fighting with them?
You fight with them.
So they're like controlling some members of the party, and you're
yeah,
controlling others?
Like you get two or three depending on how many people are in the party, and you fight a boss that you can kind of you can get as like a summon basically,
mm-hmm.
That you can use in further.
So you don't play
battles.
Regular levels; you play special co-op. Levels.
Yeah, there are special co-op levels, mm-hmm. and. In between,
it's real time.
It's real time, and in between turns, you like tap on the screen to build up energy that will unleash your summon.
That sounds annoying as hell.
It's not annoying, but
you see people on the train just like
no, I don't see people. I don't really see people on the train.
I did. We saw when we went to lunch the other day. We saw two dudes playing Terra Battle at lunch, which was interesting. Yeah.
The thing is, like. Yeah, the annoying part is that it takes way too much tapping to get the bar full. Mm-hmm. Like, it should just be like a tap, 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 but it's like a tap, 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 tap kind of thing.
It's like a track and field.
Yeah, pretty much.
Put it sideways, use your fingernail.
The biggest problem, though, is that I can't fucking connect to anything. Like, I can start a game and people join my game, but if I want to join another person's game, I cannot do it.
Hmm.
And they just today released a new version that kind of fixes it a little bit, but I tried it during a bathroom break, and it didn't work. So
speaking of broke-ass mobile games, we have some news about another one of those, as well as Dragon's Dogma Online and a lot of video news for some reason this week. Some sad news, some happy news, some exciting news. We'll try to skip the boring news. So
Mark jumped in before I could brag that Uematsu was sitting right next to where I'm sitting right
that's
now.
That's true.
Oh, that's
week.
Right. They was.
He was in our
composer
office.
Composer of Terra Battle and Final Fantasy and everything else.
We really need to start taking pictures again of all the people who come through the office
right.
because some crazy people have come through this office in the last 6 months and year, right?
Yeah.
Right?
We stopped doing that when we had a computer crash that lost like half of our pictures.
Well, it's not like we were going to do anything with them anyway.
What do you mean?
We're
going to
put them on the fucking website. We're going to tattoo them on ourselves.
Yeah, something. Like we were going to do that thing with the bottle caps. And the...
It's almost our 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
That was something like really nice.
Well, yeah, we lost
JJ.
I still don't believe you, but okay.
Whatever. All right. We'll believe this.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a little bit with the news.
All right.
And we are back with the news.
It's the news. Hey, the news.
Wow, is that an honor of the new, Super Bowl?
Yeah.
all right, then. JJ, it's Week Against Ice and Fire.
Yes, both.
Yes, right. It's Dragon's Dogma Online.
Woo-hoo! Yay!
Yes, it is coming to PS4, PS3, and PC as a free-to-play game.
In Japan,
yes. Yeah. So only announced for Japan so far.
Someone from Europe, like,
parties of four. They have lobbies up to 100 players. You're going to still have AI controlled pawns. It'd be supported by item based microtransactions.
It is free to play.
It's free to play.
Yeah,
free to play. That sounds exciting,
right? Mm. Like this.
I hope it doesn't suck.
Right,
I hope it's
not.
You know, there's always. It's so often in the Japanese game industry that, like, there's something that sounds so promising, amazing, and then there's just something incredibly broken about it, and you're just like, it was so close.
It tends to come like that. That kind of stuff tends to come from Capcom, too.
Watch it be, like, turn-based or something. Like,
I don't trust them to do a free-to-play game.
Your health ticks down every second, and you have to buy potions or something.
I'm really excited about this. I noticed in the screenshots, apparently they had different characters, and it was like Arisen 1, Arisen 2, Arisen 3. So I wonder how, like, story-wise, like, I'm sitting here thinking about the lore-wise,
I'm not sure how that works, but it's coming out this year, which is also cool.
Yes.
It looks like a higher-res version of the last game,
right,
which I am fine with.
Like, yeah.
The last game looked amazing.
Well, it is online.
Yeah. Well, it is online, but the one problem, my only problem with the last game was sometimes the frame rate.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully that would be better.
And so, yeah, and like because the spell effects were amazing, the lighting was amazing.
Yeah, I'm okay with them not going like super balls out next gen in favor of them actually making it run like buttery smooth, because it's not like it looked bad before.
Well, they could do both.
No, that's Dragon's Dogma Online 2, JJ.
Right,
there you go.
But, exciting stuff. I hope it comes out in the West.
Let's see, and other online news. We have a whole bunch of like video news this so things that we'll want to probably link in the show notes.
Maybe.
So Blindfolded Gamer beats Mike Tyson's Punch-Out all the way through, including Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Which was new. That
first
was kind of cool.
Ever been done. Yeah.
He was doing it on Wii emulation though, so he has to do it now on the real deal.
Wow.
NES with the Tyson cart. Tetris Master, an American Tetris Master, achieved the highest rank in the game after 8 years of play.
Grandmaster.
Yes, Grandmaster, which is insane if you don't know what you have to do to get that. But basically, you have to, like, beat the game, 999 pieces four times in a row or something? No, four times in the most recent seven games.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, just watch the video of this because it's totally nuts. I guess four Japanese guys have done it before, and this is the first... American. He was doing it on Twitch. His full stream is up, so you can watch it.
Is it the Grandmaster? Or?
Yes, the Grandmaster.
Okay. Yes.
Nice. The only Tetris
the Grandmaster
that
3, Terror the Instinct, which is pretty hilarious. That was
Terror Instinct.
Yeah. Grandmaster 3, Terror Instinct. Sounds like one of your canon movies,
yes.
JJ.
It does.
Smash Brothers Tournament. What was this called again? It was like Apex. Yeah,
yes,
Apex 2015. They had like someone pulled the fire alarm, and then the fire marshals came and they shut it down, and they had to move, but the show did go on. There's a story on Kotaku about a pretty crazy
I saw
matchup.
This live.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Like, I tuned in, and it was Chillin, who's yeah. like a... He's in the movie, the Smash Brothers documentary thing.
Okay.
And against this guy, Leffen, who's from Sweden. And Leffen is apparently, like, the heel of the Smash Brothers world. Just trash talks everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And they were doing the Salty yeah, Sweet live on the stream, and, like, came out with Chillin had, like, this diss... rap or whatever. It was goofy, but in the end Chillin got his ass whipped,
yeah,
like just got played with. And then after the match, Mango, who's like, you know,
he's also in the Smash Brothers
right documentary. He's like a really big player in the Smash community, came up to Leffen and he was like, yeah, you beat me, like I came to your country, you beat me, you came to this country and you beat my friend. If we meet up in the brackets tomorrow, let's put $1,000 on it.
Which, by the way, that these Smash Brothers are like throwing around $1,000 right? bets, like
what?
Ballers.
I was like, "Are you okay? Are you? Is that going to be fine? Are you going to get home?"
Nintendo probably going to sponsor it, yeah, shit,
Kickstarter
man.
Or something.
But yeah, it was in the match that did happen. People didn't know if it was going to happen or not because they had to actually meet in the brackets for it to happen.
And did they?
They did,
which is amazing. And, that's amazing, right there.
Well, do you want? I don't want to spoil it.
No, don't spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it. But the match was amazing.
We can tell you about it afterwards, but people should just check it out. Watch the match.
The whole thing was great. I love like the whole theatrical WWF kind of thing.
It's
to
amazing
it.
That it just worked out that way. Yeah. Like they should start, you know, engineering those kind of matches.
Right.
In Satter Online News, Joystick, a site that we've gotten a lot of news from over the years.
Joystick has been a good friend to us.
Yeah.
That's Joystick with a Q, folks. Yes. Is kind of no more.
Right.
In its old form.
That was weird. Yeah. I mean, First of all, it's super sad they're going away. It's super lame that they're going away because they're an awesome site. Like they're one of the few sites that actually like was really, really kind of on.
And
point.
They actually paid attention to Japanese stuff.
Mm. Yeah, and they AOL. I guess I don't know if the official word is, but it seems like AOL just decided it wasn't worth it to keep going.
Right. I mean, who knows? Like, you know, people commenting on that stuff. It's like, well, who knows the financials of it and how much it was working out and whatever. But you know, no matter what, it's just sad to see another enthusiast site go by the wayside, especially one that we you know, liked and read sometimes. There is still, it's kind of, they're merging, I guess, the brand and at least one of the staff into Engadget, and then a friend of the show, Ben Gilbert, is pitching in as well. So that right now it's just called like Joystick Cross Engadget. That's what I call the big X now, because I live in Japan.
I know, right? I was going to say, but probably not what it actually is. But
what would you call it? Times Engadget? I mean, it's just Joystick like multiplied by, but you know, whatever. That's just their placeholder name for that, but I think they're going to be doing a Twitch stream, and they're going to brand... It's not going to be... What was the distinction they made? It's not game... news, it's like gaming news or something like that. I forget, but it's
sort
like
of makes sense if you
about
read it.
People who play games, I guess. Is
it's
what
like
that
it's
means.
Like, yeah, stuff that'll cross over. It's not gonna be like, here's a preview of this whatever thing, but it's like, here's a story that is interesting to you and also like as a larger kind of gaming culture type thing.
Yeah, cool. Ben's great, and so is the girl that he's carrying over. It just feels a little like sad to call it Joystick to like all the other people from Joystick who no longer have a job. It's kind of like,
well, yes, you know? As we well know with certain brands that we might have worked on before that still live on, sometimes it's just a fact of life. But at least it's being carried on by people who
that's true.
Worked there,
that's true,
have worked there for a long time, and
hopefully they'll give it like its own unique thing.
So I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's not going to exist anymore.
Right.
It just doesn't exist anymore. They'll do a little more gaming coverage now on Engadget, and so we have that to look forward to at least. Might also have a new Condemned game to look forward to.
Is that like the hobo beat 'em up?
That is, yes. Okay. You might know it as Bum Fights, the video game.
That's right. That's right.
Jason Jace Hall, former CEO and founder of Monolith, is seeing gauging interest in the Condemned IP. Maybe he might like lend it to an indie developer to make a game, which is kind of cool of
Does
him.
Does Sega not own that?
Nope. I guess not. Huh. I guess they do. And they made those two games for Sega. The second game, you guys have seen the bear fight.
Right? What was the name of it?
Condemned 2?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. Oh. Well, you should check that out. You should check that out, because that game did some interesting, kind of weird shit.
A lot of people liked it, though.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm saying that in a very positive way. And in even the first game had its moments. Like, it was a very interesting... To me, it was like the pinnacle of what we would give a 7 on, like, the EGM scale. Because, like, a lot of people took 7 totally. To mean, like, oh, screw this game.
Right.
You're not going to buy it or whatever, or just rent it. It's like, no, that's not it at all. Like, it's definitely succeeding on some things, but it's failing on others. But, like, it's such an interesting
right.
experiment in a lot of ways. And, yeah, it was reaching for things and failing, like, you know,
right.
more often than you would like. But it was just the fact that it was...
It's like Canon Pictures, you know, sometimes you get the Apple, sometimes
it all
you...
It comes back to Canon Pictures.
Sometimes you get Bloodsport,
sometimes you get... Yeah, exactly. So, we talked about Nintendo and streaming. They have this new YouTube policy.
Yeah, that people aren't really happy about that.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird, because some people really are, and some people are not. The reaction on Gaff was, like, super positive, and then a lot of other people weighed in, saying, you know, that it kind of sucks. Like, you should see... Basically, this policy is you can get your channel... signed up with
right.
through Nintendo and get it kind of approved, and they basically take control and then they pay you, or you can get individual videos, send them in for approval,
right,
and then they'll tell you if it's okay or not, and then you, it's like, I don't know, 70-30 or I don't know the details yeah. of the yeah 70-30 and some people are like, hey, you know, Nintendo, you should just be happy that people are streaming your games at all,
pretty
and
much
see it as yeah. promotion. You know, and I, as much as I agree with that sentiment, I will say I do find myself, I don't know if you guys do this recently, but like, I'm interested in a game that might cost $5 or $10.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of buying that game, which I would have otherwise done,
mm-hmm.
I will like watch a stream of it.
See, like, I'm the exact opposite.
I don't do that.
I'll do the opposite. Like, what I do is I'll watch all the Let's Plays, and I'm like, I wouldn't have bought this game or played it because I don't have time to, but I really enjoy it, and I will, like, tell my friends about it. I'll get into, like, the
and
fan
I'll do that
part.
Too. I will definitely
so I
do
think
that
there's
as well.
Two sides to it, for
yeah, yeah.
sure.
Yeah, there's absolutely two sides to it, because I will do that too.
If it's a game that Haruki wants and I don't want to buy it, I basically turn on the Let's Plays and let him watch it.
So there
you
go.
You give him a controller and let him think he's playing it?
No, he's not that.
Oh, that would be...
He's a smart kid. He knows what's going on.
Okay.
But, like, sometimes he gets content with the videos, and that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
He did think the demo of Smash Brothers was the full
was
game. I'm just saying.
It was Pokemon.
It was Pokemon.
It was Pokemon.
Yeah.
Dad.
I'm sure he's very smart for his age.
Yeah.
So, yeah, PewDiePie is kind of... going off
PewDiePie.
On this. Devolver, very good. Digital had like a, you know, a statement, very forward thinking.
The best part of the story is that you find out what his real name is.
Oh my gosh.
It's
Peter.
Arvid Ulf Kjellberg. No, wait, Felix Arvid Ulf Kjellberg.
All right, well,
that's a lot of names.
He makes more money while we were making fun of his name than we will make in our lives. So,
that's true.
Let's just roll remember that.
Nice.
He's very powerful and he could crush us. speaking of Nintendo, they delayed their financial results presentation because Mr. Iwata is ailing. We wish him the best, friend of the show. We know he's listening. He had the flu. Yep. So they're going to reschedule it for
please
the 17th.
Understand.
We will talk about that. Yes, please be excited for that next podcast. John, I know you're excited about Gold and Silver Mario palette swap.
I'm befuddled. Because I haven't seen the... I haven't been following the news today, so I may have just missed it, but I haven't seen these in Japan.
Well, this is not an official announcement yet. These were actually tracked down. Well, as
I saw that it was tracked
story,
down,
yeah.
but I think actually it was officially announced after that. We looked that up at lunch.
Okay.
But like...
Yeah.
I only in America, which is very weird because Amiibos, you know, typically show up here first in Japan.
Well, skip, you know, this is how things are going to happen. Man.
I don't know
when you,
that
when
I
you start
want
to play this
them.
Game about exclusivity and like, oh, this one
we could buy up a lot of gold Marios, give them away as trophies.
It's a cool looking amiibo. I mean, like, I already have a gold Mario. The first year Club Nintendo prize in Japan was
damn.
A gold Mario. That shit is valuable.
This is a gateway drug. You start buying these palette swap ones, and it's gonna just.
What do they do? Is like that's my question.
Well, it depends
that's
on the game.
Big question
what don't
of
they
amiibos.
Do?
Yeah. Like,
they're just like a little NFC chip. That does
yeah, but what's
so
special about it being gold? Besides that it's gold.
Oh, well, those specifically, I don't know.
But Sarah, it's gold.
I don't understand.
It's gold.
It'll be worth its weight in gold.
There's less of it. Yeah, that's the whole thing about these things is exclusivity and wanting them and the new ones coming out.
Do you get like a gold Mario in the game too?
They could do that. Okay. Theoretically.
But that's not why people are like super excited about this shit. Is because it's like the collect-a-thon mentality,
right? And to take it back to YouTube, a lot of people make YouTube videos and earn a lot of money just opening up like Skylanders and Amiibos.
Oh, this reminds me, I have an opportunity here to redeem myself because last episode we talked about how I had said I would never get Pokemon Amiibos, and then like one showed up, and you
the very next day. Case.
Turns out that was Christian Nutt's Amiibo. Christian Nutt, a friend of the show, Gamasutra editor, ordered some Japan Amiibos here for himself,
right?
Which came to me, and I just saw them and assumed they were mine.
But you didn't even know about it yourself.
I just forgot.
Buying so many Amiibos.
He told me, but that was like a month and a half ago, and I was like, oh, I guess more Amiibos that I forgot I ordered, and then like, it wasn't me. So
would they like see your tweet and then contact you like, hey,
no,
is
but
that
then he was like, they came out today. Did you get them? And I'm like, oh yeah.
But you didn't you open them? And
I opened one. I had to, so I bought it again. Yeah.
To be fair, to defend yourself, you thought you had done it too.
Yeah, I did. I was like, oh, I guess I really did.
Speaking of goofs, apparently there was some kind of goof at the
Game
Show. Is it a goof? Dun dun dun.
Yeah, that was weird, man.
There was a 2 that looked very much like a Metal Gear Rising font 2.
Yeah, it's hard to. I mean, come on.
It looks.
It looks different from the other numbers and the sequence of numbers they were showing.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
And I think it had like a little bit of electricity. Maybe
Koji Pro says
someone. Did you see the people looking into the background? Yeah, someone said eyeballs and like the faces of characters. There is an eyeball in there, by the way. If you look at the 2, there's an eyeball like in the background.
Someone found a snake face. Yeah. in the like the top corner of the 2.
Doesn't it become like a cloud at a certain point where you like you can find whatever?
There are pictures where you see like the Shinkawa version of Solid Snake. His face is in that picture.
Wait, really?
I'm Team CG. That's me.
All right. But anyway,
but what
yeah,
do you guys
so,
think? Then what's the deal? If it's not, I mean,
Jeff Keighley said no.
I mean, Kojima said no. It was SCE.
But they didn't know what it was. So then, what's the point? Like.
Right.
If no one knows what it is.
Wouldn't whatever award-winning, amazing localization team that wrote that game, the first game, be contacted and know if something like this was going to happen?
You think
so? We lie to people all the time, so we could be just.
That's true. We do tell people don't believe anything you hear on this podcast because we will lie to you if it benefits this company.
Yes,
we haven't reminded anyone that in a while.
That is our standing policy. Yeah, we're supposed to mention that every podcast.
We need to get someone like to just like read that like the beginning of, you know, like some episodes start with, you know, this podcast brought to you by, we should just have somebody that. Maybe we get like Garnet or something to, like a famous internet voice to just read our ad.
It's not a bad idea.
Papa Garnet.
So Super Bowl JJ we just mentioned was last weekend.
What was it?
Amazing.
That was an amazing
amazing. It was the best thing that could have possibly happened.
You're talking about the Sharks, right? That's where you're...
The left shark,
The left shark.
If I see another image meme about those fucking sharks...
No, I'll never be over it. All right.
Bill Belichick, you're doing it right now!
Bill Belichick, like, actually got... we don't usually talk sports on this show, but, like, Bill Belichick actually, like,
sports.
Tried to defend that play call today. Did you see that? I know he's probably just trying to put on, like, a good PR face, but, like, there is no defending that call.
No, there is defending that call, actually.
No, not in that position. Not when you have 26 seconds left and 2 downs.
No. Trust me.
That is not a psych out. That is stupid.
No. I will send you a link from a site that all it does is analyze football plays that will tell you why that was smart.
That was not smart. You could argue wasn't dumb.
Right. Let me rephrase that. Why it did make sense at the time.
Hey, Roy,
to
what's
a
your
person,
favorite sport?
Not that you agree with it or not, and don't talk over me on my podcast.
That's
right.
Speaking of Garnet.
Garnet. That was the joke.
Mark's goddamn show.
That's the joke.
Yes.
So,
that was a terrible call.
But anyway...
Seattle blew it.
It was a delicious, delicious.
Unlike the Giants, who had their who beat the Patriots twice in the Super Bowl and had similar miraculous final drives, but
which
followed
through. Which was also amazing because that was last second... heart-wrenching loss to Patriots fans who I hate with passion, and I hate the Patriots, but it turns out I hate the Seahawks more. And so that's why, and I had said this curse to several people who live in Seattle and are big fans, and they probably remembered it when the game ended, but I can never say anything to them probably ever again. But I told them, like, I don't want Seattle to lose, because now that they were in the playoffs, and especially after they beat the Packers, I wanted them to lose. I wanted them to go to the Super Bowl and lose the Super Bowl at the last second in heart-wrenching fashion.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted. It wasn't just soothsayer. If they went blown away, it's not that even that fun. Even making it to the Super Bowl and getting blown out of the water, it's just not that delicious. But this way, right, where they catch it and they're like, well, we are God's chosen people. There's no way that this play can go wrong. The fact that they think getting the ball to a 2-yard line, like the game was just theirs, like that alone, like, yes, the
it
odds
did
are
seem
good.
Like a miracle was in the making after that
they
catch.
Had all momentum with them. That catch was ridiculous, whatever, but it's like, you get lucky and you get unlucky, right? And that play was amazing. That was not like that pass that they threw is really hard to make an interception on. The Patriots studied shit. That's
do
right.
The
Patriots studied
points.
That shit. Bill Belichick's evil fucking ceremonies, whatever unholy things that he runs before the game, summoning demons.
Guy's a criminal
and
anyways.
Cheating.
But those sharks
worked.
Yeah.
Anyway,
did you see
John Madden predicted the final score? That's where I was going with.
That was the story.
John Madden football.
That's pretty freaking impressive.
Hit the score on the nose.
The odds of that happening are
28-24.
Very, very low. Like, that was kind of crazy that they called it exactly.
Or was it very, very high? Is the simulation that good?
We talked about it, that like, they could not have predicted like the crushing, heart-wrenching second that happened. That would be against all algorithms.
Not yet. That's the next. That's a new feature. That's a bullet feature in the next Madden.
The best part of that story,
Seattle,
though.
Seattle Seahawks fan tears.
The
CH simulation.
Trolled the Seahawks fans the next day. Did you see this?
No,
they were
yeah.
like alternate universe ending, and they ran that play in that situation where they ran for the touchdown.
Yeah,
it was like, whoa, that's really harsh.
What is this? Sony Online sold off. We actually said the word EverQuest in this podcast earlier.
Weird, man.
So, yeah, the makers of EverQuest, and they're making, like, what's it called? Like EverQuest Next or something? They're actually working on a new EverQuest. Yeah, it is EverQuest Next. Yeah. Anyway, they got sold off, so who knows if that means anything. More game systems are coming to China soon. We mentioned someone spending $130,000 for a PS4.
Yeah.
John's on
that
a cell phone
crazy.
Despite
his
warnings.
Name was Bon Vicciardi, I think.
yeah, if I had $130,000, it would not go to a PS4. I'm sorry. Yeah.
JJ, I'm not gonna take you out to task on that one, because I've already hit you a couple times this podcast. they're getting rid of the YouTube app for the Vita.
Near.
They're just going to stop selling it, but the Google Maps actually will be removed once you update your Vita.
Oh,
in
that's
March.
Such a shame. I used those both so many times.
Well, John,
never
the one
in
that's
my life.
Be the real heartbreaker to you is Near.
Thank God. Near is like garbage. Yes. Near was like such an insult. That thing was like, the first day is like, don't know what it works. I still don't know what it does.
Yeah.
Let it go.
That
let it die.
It does nothing. It was intended to be a social networking app that allowed users to see who was nearby playing the same game.
Why? What would you do then? Meet up? Talk about the game? Like,
it doesn't even work.
Like, I don't want to do that.
It could have been cool if it actually worked. It was just like a convoluted mess. And the thing that bothers me more is that Street Pass has been out this long, and they still haven't tried to do something similar, because Street Pass is amazing. Mm. I know like several Sony employees who are like Street Pass addicts, like playing their 3DS every day. Why is it not on Vita? Like, is it like pride thing? You want to copy?
I don't know.
We get shit like Nier.
Something that is on Vita and now will be coming to cell phones, Android and iOS, is Lumines. Friend of the show, Tetsuya Mizuguchi, is in charge of it. It's being made at, where is it?
Mobcast.
Yes, right? Mobcast is making it, yes. And
if that's like a legit
Medios
real Lumines,
well.
Man, that would be awesome.
Right?
Can he make Medios? That was a Sakurai game.
I don't know how you would control that exactly.
I called it Mateos, but...
Yeah.
Classy pronunciation.
But I don't know how this is going to... The touch controls, I'm not really so sure about that.
But yeah, they did announce Medios as well. And that's
cool.
Also coming from Q. Sega is moving to LA. Sorry for them.
That was a bummer.
They're also cutting a bunch of jobs and to focus on mobile and PC stuff.
It just hurts my soul.
Kind of sad, right?
I guess, yeah.
Ken Levine's next game, we'll probably hear more about it at PAX East. It's first person, it's sci-fi.
Hey, that sounds like a Ken Levine game.
It's not in the news, but Ken Levine was one of the many famous creators who commented on the Underworld Kickstarter. Did anybody see that? Underworld Ascension, which is like the spiritual successor. It's kind of more than a spiritual successor.
It is the successor
without the ultimate, name. But right. It does have the Underworld license.
Yep. It's got the font and the logo and all
from
that.
From the original creators of Ultima Underworld 1 and 2, which are amazing PC games back in the day. Super excited about this. I backed it as soon as it went up. It looks really good, too.
I won't say the segue from that to this that I would normally say, but there is also a Wonder Boy game coming out. Wonder Boy and the Wizard of Booze, which was originally a Kickstarter game.
Wait, it got
the jokes write themselves, folk.
It was
Flying Hamster
2, yeah. Knight of the Golden Seed. And
it turned into a Wonder Boy game?
Yeah.
A flying hamster game.
Wait.
Became a Wonder Boy game?
It was for all intents and purposes, a Wonder Boy game.
It was, he couldn't get the name, but he wanted to make like a homage.
It's got to be a Japanese guy, right? If it's the Wizard of Booze.
No, it does not have to be a Japanese guy. And in fact, it is not a Japanese guy. And I mean, I don't think the game actually looks bad.
No, that's really nice animation.
No, I'm not picking on the guy. I'm picking on the name.
No, like, but, well, yeah, the name, but the Wizard of Booze. I also, where I was going with that, I don't think it really looks like a Wonder Boy game to me. Like,
if it's not the original creator, it's not a Wonder Boy game. I'd rather
involve.
Well, they're giving it their blessing. Who knows what's going on there?
We're past due for a new Wonder Boy, so. Why not?
Should we even talk about Sonic Runners? I don't think we should.
Yeah, no.
All right. On that note, that's a podcast.
Hey, we did it.
Where should people find us?
You can find us on our website at 8-4.gp. Our second home, giantbomb.com. You can find us at the Neo. We usually have a thread up there.
TheNeoGaff.com.
The Neo. And we are on iTunes. Download us there. Facebook. We have a Facebook. We have a Twitter at 84Play. Mine is SBRSK.
I'm Mark McD.
At SarahPods.
At JohnTV.
At Kotori.
And I think that's it.
And by the way, please don't forget that thing we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast. If you put it off or whatever, we need your Bloodborne questions.
And only Bloodborne questions.
And only Bloodborne questions. So we will be interviewing Miyazaki, the creator of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And now the president of From Software, big in Bloodborne and Demon's
Souls. Fan of the 8-4-Play podcast.
Of course,
really?
Yes.
Every episode.
Big friend of the show. So, yes, thank you to Future Press and Epic Name Bro for involving us in that. We're pretty excited. Indeed. Should be fun. But yes, get us those questions. We're not sure how many yet are going to be end up being used in the guide. Maybe it'll depend on the questions. Maybe it'll depend on the answers. Maybe it'll depend on the guide size, whatever. But send us the questions. We will pass them along. All the places that we mentioned before, Twitter, Epic Name Bros, comments in his YouTube video. Put them on the 8-4 page. Put them on the Neo, the thread in the Neo. Other than that, we might have done that by the time the next podcast comes
out. Today would have been the day Bloodborne came out.
I know. I saw you. I'm very sad about that.
Very
as am
upset.
I. Yeah, but very soon.
Yes.
Very soon.
Yes.
Get excited. Please be excited. Mm-hmm. And please be excited for the next podcast. Until then.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Mystery Apple, take a little ride. Let me be your guide through the apple paradise. Choo-choo apple, voodoo apple, take a little bite. Spend a splendid night in our garden of delight. It's a natural, natural, natural desire. Meet an actual, actual, actual vampire. Let the apple set your soul on fire, fire, fire!
then you'll be demonized. But you'll be paralyzed, so you'll be victimized. You're fascinated, captivated, losing your mind. When we cast the apple eye on you. Holy apple, sacred apple. Take a little chance, get into a trance, and join me in the apple dance. Whoa! Go, go! Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it! Natural, natural, natural desire. Get you higher, higher, higher. Let the apple set your soul on fire, fire, fire. You'll be hypnotized and you'll be demonized. And you'll be paralyzed and you'll be victimized. You're fascinated, captivated, losing your mind. When we cast the apple eye on you. Holy apple. Mystery apple, juju apple, oh voodoo apple, sacred apple, holy apple, trust the apple, yeah, bite the apple, bite the apple, take the apple, whoa, praise the apple.
One of the gods, you're one of the god awful. We all got in. We're looking at your box. Big stick to smash four and losing by four stocks. Not a fan of your style, you ain't standing your ground. You get wins while kicking a man when he's down. Like, I beat Mango, I'm the favorite if he chokes. As far as Armada goes, I'll just wait till he's a host. Ain't no telling how foolish you'll be looking. Evidence I zip, can't contain the ass whooping. Right when we realize the money match is over, that'll be a cue to throw your controller. Expose you as a fraud, yeah, I'll be blowing you up. Who said you were a god? I know it wasn't Plup. Been here 10 years and you know I'm showing up. For a man in many words, I think you said enough. But the only way to make you hush, first I'll body bag your fox, then die zip it shut. I'ma put you in your place, kid, you a disgrace. Get killed quick like that missile hit you in the face. After all this, you'll be watching your mouth. Ain't no telling who'll be calling you out. Salty sweet goes down, you better come correct. Until you win a major, show your elders some respect. P.S. Leffen, I ain't done yet. I'm the underdog, so place your bets. Whoever wanna see Leffen looking dumb, throw your money on the line, cause I'm making some. Gotta say, bro, you looking awfully weak. Wait and see what happens in the salty sweet. Vanilla Fox don't suit you, go find another. Teach you a lesson and take back my color.